Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Welcome to the Annie Fry Show and to 97.1 FM Talk. It is Inauguration Day. It is Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and it is a good day. And we are grateful that you are here. We have been listening to special coverage this morning of the inauguration, the oath of office, the beautiful performances that took place, and it has been an amazing thing to see. I am excited to have you here along with us. We are going to continue to, this is going to remain quite a bit of a fluid situation. We're watching right now as the Biden family is preparing to leave Washington, D.C., and I specifically remember, Ryan, when the Bidens took office, I remember watching Donald Trump and Melania Trump get on the plane and leave, and they showed the plane as it was leaving. I assume that right now the news media will likely end up doing the same for the Bidens as they leave. And I remember feeling a depth of sadness. And in the midst of all of that as well, there was so much turmoil, of course, like just a dramatic pendulum shift of tone and tenor in the country. A lot of people in the country in 2020 were, or 2021, I should say, were incredibly relieved and happy to see that changing of the guard. And it's a moment in time to reflect on, of course, that pendulum has shifted back once again. But Donald Trump's reentry into the office of the presidency is being welcomed by many more than he could have done should he have won that election in 2020.
Yep. It is a fun day. I mean, we're watching this. We'll be reporting on it all day. Right now, they're standing outside the Capitol. They are shaking hands. So this is that moment that Annie was just talking about 4 years ago. This is the moment Trump was getting on the plane and leaving. It is a completely different, dare I say, vibe. Today.
Isn't it the worst when you hate the word, but you're like, gosh, dang it, it's the best word.
But it really is.
Mood.
This is what the majority chose. I mean, that's the way it always is, but this is what the majority chose this time, and it is very celebratory. Everybody knows what they're getting into. That's a big difference this time, is that in 2016, it was such a surprise. Even hearing him speak at his inauguration, it was a surprise that he didn't sound like other presidents. This time, everybody knew what we were getting. And everybody who voted for him, and I think even some who didn't, are very excited about some of the reforms that he is going to initiate immediately.
So I'm going to invite you, Ryan, to watch us on the live stream here that you were on, because apparently I've seen a lot of this scuttlebutt on X as we were listening to the inauguration speech, where Donald Trump laid out very, very handily what he is going to do now that he is once again the president of the United States. But a lot of people are saying that whitehouse.gov, I mean, that's a switchover that happens, of course, with these types of things. And when you, I'm going to visit it here on the on my internet, and I'm going to talk to you about what it is that we end up seeing. So when you go to whitehouse.gov, this does not look like a government website.
Ooh, wow.
It's got Donald Trump. He's clearly on a stage somewhere. It's a shot from below, so he looks in charge and command, and he's pointing out into what you would assume is the crowd. It says, America is back. And then it says, every single day I will be fighting for you with every breath in my body. I will not rest until we have delivered the strong, safe, and prosperous America that our children deserve and that you deserve. This will truly be the golden age of America. And then it's got a link to executive actions news. And then it shows the administration. This is something that I had up to talk about multiple times last week, and we didn't get around to it. But Donald Trump's new presidential portrait. The reason why I think this one is as interesting as some people have talked about it. First, you have to go back and look at the 2016 presidential portrait. Donald Trump was standing there with the biggest, toothiest smile on his face. And it always struck me when you would see the official portrait of President Trump, it always struck me how joyful he looked in that moment, because that's not really a reflection of how you see him on a regular basis. It really looks as though he worked to mimic the well-lit version of his mugshot in his new presidential portrait. We'll get back to the coverage of this. We just watched as President Trump and First Lady Melania Trump. Oh my gosh, she's so beautiful. If you haven't seen her, this is a whole, like, there's so many things that have just changed in America. So starkly changed in America. Melania Trump being celebrated for her fashion all weekend and now. But we watched as Donald Trump and Melania bid farewell to former President Joe Biden and First Lady Jill Biden as they boarded Marine One at the White House. There were some, you know, cheek kisses between the first ladies. And now we watch that trip, that departure that we were talking about at the beginning of this segment. I remember watching Donald Trump fly away and having great sadness as I observe that. There are people in this country right now as excited and as happy as we feel. There's some serious fretting taking place with American voters.
There is. There is not in this room.
No.
That kind of fretting. I'll tell you what.
I just want to acknowledge that it is a multi-layered situation.
Sure. But we have been, I mean, if you've been tuning in, we started coverage of this during Kill Me. We kind of went into live coverage, you know, halfway through Kill Me today, just so that we could hear some of the speeches and everything that was happening live. We've been covering this. It has been very celebratory. A lot of what he announced, we knew. But I do want to just take this moment to say, look, if you're just tuning in to the Annie Fry Show, because you know we usually come on at noon, even though we've been broadcasting for a while today, this is very exciting. And watching this happen, I can tell you what, there are two people I just saw. Is the Bidens are departing, and you know there's a lot of ceremony still happening. Of everybody that you're watching, Bidens clearly don't look like they're happy. Donald Trump, like you just said, in his official portrait, he's got that same face. He's getting down to business. You know who looks like they're having a great time? Is the Vances.
They are having
a real good time. J.D. Vance is smiling and waving and just can't wait to shake everybody's hand. I mean, he's the Vice President of the United States. What a surreal experience it's got to be for him. And Usha Vance, the new second lady, second lady, that's what she's called, of the United States. Man, she was ear to ear. She was grinning like crazy. They are having a really good time. And I think a lot of us are just celebrating right now.
So you mentioned that the Bidens weren't looking too happy. I don't believe that they look as melancholy in the appropriate moments. I mean, there are times where they were in the background of Donald Trump saying, you know, for 4 years, essentially, this has been a dumpster fire. He didn't say it like that, although I wouldn't put it past him. But he's, in his inauguration speech, speaking to the very specific problems that the United States of America faces currently. And those problems are all spearheaded by the man who was sitting just to his immediate left over his shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
Kamala Harris, right there as well. And the thing that I appreciated the most about that speech, which we carried here live on 97.1 FM Talk, the thing I appreciated the most about the speech was it was about what Americans need. It's about what America needs. It's about the reality of the situation that America is in. It's not a lot of fluff about politics and about perceptions. It's about, here are some harsh realities that we need to face, and this is what I'm going to do about it. You sent me here to handle this. This is what I'm going to do about it. I am looking forward to, you said, Ryan, earlier in the segment, you said in 2016, we didn't, like, it was just a shock. And then he wins, and then we spend that 75 days-ish going, is he really going to, like, is this real, real? Like, real, real? Yeah. And then he was sworn in. The impeachment starts today. That was the maybe Washington Post or some lib rag newspaper's headline the day after he won or whatever. And I mean, that's just, it was obstacles in front of obstacles for Donald Trump as the president. And all of that stuff has been put away. All of that stuff has, to the extent that the American voter has put it away. I don't think that they're going to stop trying to swamp Donald Trump and try to trip him up every possible way they can. They're still certainly going to do that, but not with the help of the American people, not with a willful ignorance of the American people stoked by a left-leaning media that people still kind of trusted. In my lifetime, we have not witnessed what we are about to witness in this presidency, but most specifically today, this moment in time that we have watched over the past. I mean, when did he start running? Was it 15 or was it 14? I know he's been talking about it.
15 officially.
There's like videos from the 80s or the 90s or whatever. And there's times where he was on Oprah and talking about, like, I wouldn't run for president unless I thought it was absolutely necessary. And I think I'd win. He told Oprah, and Oprah's like, oh, really? I think you'd be a great president. Like, how times
join my
changed?
Book club.
Yeah, exactly. When we are watching this moment unfold, knowing what we know about what has been done to Donald Trump specifically, they tried to bankrupt him. They tried to put him in jail. They tried to take him off of the political field. They tried to eliminate him. They tried to slander him. They tried to smear him. They tried to kill him. And he's the president of the United States once again. On January 20th, 2025, we are about to watch what he'll do when the American people have had enough of what they've done to this man. Many people who don't love Donald Trump now understand Donald Trump. Many people who have despised Donald Trump over all of these years now despise the media that led them astray, specifically because the media knew that they could. People have been deceived and they know it. Now, that doesn't mean that just because you've discovered, you've been telling me this whole time that this is the way that this is going to be and this is the way this man is, and maybe those things aren't actually true. You've been telling me this whole time that Donald Trump is a particular kind of person, and that's not exactly true. What else have you lied to me about? And the American people, at the benefit of their own success, are about to find out with great, great measure what Donald Trump is about. It's not perfect, but boy, what we have come out of, what we have crawled out of, incredibly, is about to improve. And I think that it starts right now. We're watching in the Capitol Mike Johnson standing up at the near a podium with the presidential seal. Ryan, do you see a desk?
I don't see the desk. I saw pictures of it earlier. I don't see it there
right
now.
No, the desk that we saw earlier, I think, is at Capital One Arena.
Oh, that's not here. That's right.
We knew that he was going. There are going to be phases.
It's going to be a fun
waves
day.
Of executive orders that are going to exist here throughout the course of this day. There are supporters of Donald Trump's in the Capitol. If you've ever been in the Capitol building, I feel like this is the area. Yeah, this is the area where you kind of corral and line up to go on your tour, your eighth grade tour. This is this big open area, and there are a lot of people in here that I think, I wouldn't be surprised if those individuals who are in here in this moment are connected. Is that Maxine Waters? Are you kidding me? My goodness.
No.
Brad, let's get this, that Mike Johnson is going to be speaking here.
I'm ready to go.
Let's listen.
Here in the city, America is coming together and roaring back again, and it begins today, as the president just told us. I know we'd all rather be gathered together on the National Mall with hundreds of thousands of our closest friends, but our disappointment is well overcome with our excitement for the future that we feel today. We have the chance to make the next 4 years the most consequential period in our nation's history. And as Speaker of the House, it is my great pleasure, my great honor, to introduce to you the man who will lead us to this new golden age, the decisive winner of the Electoral College and the popular vote, the 45th and the 47th, and the greatest president of our lifetimes, Donald J. Trump.
So from Emancipation Hall, supporters standing all around this stage, Donald Trump is going to take this stage. Mike Johnson is there. I see Steve Scalise, the senator who was part of the inauguration ceremonies, is also on this stage. Emancipation Hall is this huge open room that spans multiple stories. So it's this wide open. There are pillars. There are beautiful marble statues in this room. And down the stairs comes both Donald Trump, First Lady Melania Trump, followed by Vice President J.D. Vance and Second Lady Usha Vance. As they walk up to the stage to take the podium in front of supporters that, you know, as we were talking about earlier at the actual oath of office ceremony, a lot of people obviously couldn't fit in there. It's like,
yeah,
very, very restricted.
It's going from smaller to bigger kind of all day, isn't it?
Yeah. And trying to get face with and spend some time with all of these various supporters who have come to Washington, D.C. This has been somewhat controversial, moving these events inside. People spend money to come stay in hotels, to eat, to travel. And in the midst of all of that, moving all of these things indoors makes it more difficult for folks to participate in. Vice President J.D. Vance.
Thank you so much for being here. And was that a hell of a speech or what? That was, that was a good way to start it off. You know, I didn't know exactly what the president would put in that speech. And I hope to myself that he wasn't going to hold back, and sir, you didn't hold back. That was a hell of a way to start the next 4 years, but I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, and I know I speak for the president and for all of us, thank you, thank you, thank you for making this possible. We love you. We wouldn't be here without you, and we're going to make America great again together for the next 4 years. And the last thing I'll say is, you know, having stood outside for about 5 minutes to wave goodbye to the Bidens, thank God we moved that thing indoors because it was a beautiful ceremony and it was cold as hell outside. So, sir, the 45th and 47th president of the United States, Donald J. Trump.
He's right. I looked, I said, oh, look at this beautiful sunny day. We blew it. We blew it. And then I went outside and we were freezing. You would have been very unhappy. The sun was very deceptive, I will tell you. It is cold out. And I'm sort of saying, you know, that was so beautiful today. Maybe they should do it there every 4 years. Does that make sense? I don't know. Because, you know, the outdoor thing is really good, but it gets a little cold around this time of the year, as some people have noticed. And a lot of times they suffer through it. There was no suffering in that room. It was 72 degrees. It was perfect with the best acoustics I think I've ever heard in a room. This is not so bad either. But I just want to say, you're a younger, far more beautiful audience than I just spoke to. And I want to keep it off the record. I want to keep that off the record. because I don't want to have all those big shots up there. I don't want to think you're more powerful than them. You look better than them, and I love you. Now, we just had a great time. We just had a great day. This was amazing. You know, when you think we took a journey, I mentioned in the speech, a lot of people said that was not a journey that was possible, and it was indeed possible. I didn't really know too much about what they were saying when they said that, but a lot of people felt it. And we hooked up with J.D. very early. I watched J.D. over a period of time. I endorsed him in Ohio. He was a great senator. And very, very smart. The only one smarter than him was his wife. That was I would have chosen her, but somehow the line of succession didn't work that way, right? But now she's great, and he's great. This is a great, beautiful couple, and unbelievable career. I just said to him, "You are very upwardly mobile," because he hasn't been doing it that long. But he picked it up so quickly. Remember, the first week was a little bit like. The fake news was hitting him really hard. And I said, "Ooh, this may be tough." But after that, it was smooth sailing for him. He took on everybody. He took on the meanest. I don't want to use the word corrupt because we're into a new system. So let's wait till the corruption begins, because it will. But he took on some pretty mean people, and he handled it well. I want to also congratulate Mike Johnson for the job that he's doing. We gave him a majority of almost nothing. And then I said, to make it tougher on him, let me take two or three of the people, right? I said, he'll only have to suffer with that for about 3 months. How are they doing, by the way? Are they, is that moving along?
Totally uniform.
I said, do you mind if I take this one, that one, and a couple of others? He didn't mind. He can handle it. No, he's a man that's liked by everybody. I've never met a man like this. You've got how many is it, 219 or 220 or something? 220. And of the 220, 219 really like him. I noticed he got one negative vote once about 2 weeks ago. But I think even 220 like him, if you want to know the truth. And that's very unusual. I know a lot of nice guys in Congress, and they have 35 people that hate him. So if you have 35 people that hate you and you only have one or two or three votes, you'll have five, I think. But that's going to be like, you know, the good news is when we get to that five number, it's going to feel like a massive majority. You could be really nasty to a couple of them, at least. You know? So it's going to feel like hitting your head on the wall and stopping. It feels so good to stop. But he's done a fantastic job. And Steve Scalise is, he's our hero because, you know, I was with him. You talk about being shot. I was with him. He got some bad ones and his incredible wife. And she really loves him. You know, you never know about that. I've been with other people. They were doing poorly, and the wife is like looking at her watch. She can't get out of the hospital fast enough. How's he doing? Oh, yeah, I don't know. He's all right. That woman was a mess. She was crying and crying. No, they're going to take him. They're going to take him. I told Steve when he finally woke up, it was a while, too. The doctor told me it was the most blood they've ever transfused in any patient. They've never done anything like it. And here he is, the picture of strength, right? And he's been a great friend of mine. We're the family, because of the family. And what a job you did. It worked out pretty much better than we even thought, right? And I did have a couple of things, you know, to say that were extremely controversial. And between J.D. and Melania, and anybody else that heard, please, sir, it's such a beautiful, unifying speech. Please, sir, don't say these things. I said, I'm telling you, it's going to play great. They said, you're right. For this group of people, it's going to play great. You're the only ones I heard by not, oh, but we had some beauties, didn't we, Melania? She said, sir, calls me sir when she's angry. I said, no. No, I'm only kidding. I better say I'm only kidding, or the press is going to pick that one up loud and clear. No, but she said, no, I think it would be terrible. It's such a nice speech. I think it's, you know, it all depends on your delivery. How was the delivery? Was it good? But she said, it's such a beautiful speech. You can't put things in there that you were going to put in. And I was going to talk about
the J6 hostages. But you'll be happy because, you know, it's action, not words that count. And you're going to see a lot of action on the J6 hostages. So, and I was going to talk about the things that Joe did today with the pardons of people that were very, very guilty of very bad crimes, like the Unselect Committee of Political Thugs, where they literally, I mean, what they did is they destroyed and deleted all of the information, all of the hearings, practically not a thing left. They deleted all the information on Nancy Pelosi having turned down the offer of 10,000 soldiers. You wouldn't have needed 10,000. You could have had 500 and it would have stopped. Because we may have a million people that day, the people that were there. You don't see any photographs, but we have a lot of great photos. But you don't see those photographs. They don't put them in. They show the people at the Capitol. But I was talking about that. I was going to talk about that. They said, please don't bring that up right now. You can bring it up tomorrow. I said, how about now in front of the very... I'll bring it up right now. You know, this little time delay is good because we're getting great reviews on the speech. Now watch. They'll take the speech and say, I didn't like it because he left there and he's talked to people. But we're giving you a little more information than we gave upstairs. But no, they pardoned a lot of people. They pardoned, before we even get to today, they pardoned, what is it, 33 murderers, absolute murderers, the worst murderers. You know, when you get the death sentence in the United States, you have to be bad because they don't give it much. And he pardoned almost everybody having a death sentence. And if you went through the crimes that were committed, you wouldn't even believe them. The level of violence, the people that were killed, the innocence of people that were killed and children killed by these people. And he pardoned them for whatever reason. He spared them, and but they didn't spare the people that they killed. And, you know, who knows what happens in the future. It's one of the worst because a lot of times they let them out early after that. You know, they say you're going to be in for life, but then all of a sudden they get let out for good behavior, and then they go on a rampage. You know, it's one of those little things, right? But I was going to talk about that. But I was really going to talk about the level of, you know, what's going on? Why are we doing this? Why are we trying to help a guy like Milley? Why are we doing Milley? He was pardoned. What he said, terrible what he said. Why are we helping some of the people? Why are we helping Liz Cheney? I mean, Liz Cheney is a disaster. She's a crying lunatic and crying Adam Kinzinger. He's a super crying. I never saw the guy not crying. He's always crying. I looked at him. I remember years ago, he was actually on my side. And then one day, you know, when you don't want to kill people in wars, they turn against you. Liz Cheney hated the concept of not going to war with everybody. Let's kill everybody. Let's spend a lot of money on military equipment. You know where her father works, right? But what she did was incredible. Think of it. They destroyed and deleted all of that information that went on for almost 2 years against Trump. And the reason they did, because it was all false. Like the person that said, I tried to strangle a Secret Service agent. That's one of the toughest human beings I think I've ever seen. I actually had a friend say, please don't change that, sir. You are the coolest sucker in history. Remember, she said, I put my hands around his neck because he wouldn't go to the Capitol. Made up fiction. And I was rebuffed. And the guy on the right is a massive weightlifter, probably stronger than me. Do you think he's stronger than me, honey? You know who I'm talking about. Possibly stronger than me. Slightly younger than me. Like, I won't say how many years because I don't want to talk about that, but a lot of years. But I had a friend that said, why are you disputing that story? That's the coolest story I've ever heard. That I would attack a karate champion, get slightly rebuffed, and then throw my arms around a guy with a neck about this big. Even though there are bars, you know, there are bars. You can't really do that anyway. So I wanted to talk about that. But all of that stuff got deleted. And the reason it got deleted is they were all caught in lies. You know, Secret Service testified and they said it didn't happen. Actually, the two guys were very embarrassed. They're suffering because their friends are saying, did Trump really do that to you?
but they gained a whole new respect for me. But it was just make-believe stuff, and there were a lot of make-believe stories made up. So rather than suffer the wrath, like the story with Nancy Pelosi, I offered her 10,000 soldiers. She knows it. She admitted it on tape that her daughter made. She's a videographer or whatever you call her, which I'm glad she is. Oh, she can't be in good stead with Nancy. But Nancy said it was my responsibility. As she's leaving the Capitol, she said it was, and it was. She's in charge of security at the Capitol. But I offered them up to 10,000 soldiers, even more. One time I said, more, as many as you need. But you needed 4,500. If 10,000, that would be more than the number of people there by lot. But we offered her 10,000. Think of it, 10,000 soldiers. In other words, J6 wouldn't be J6. There would have been no J6. But she rebuffed them. She didn't like it. No, she didn't like it. Maybe she wanted that to happen. But she's guilty as hell. And now we would have to go through the process because they destroyed all evidence. They deleted everything. There's virtually nothing left. The other fake story and so many other fake stories. And many people came out on our side. And those people now would got to find them. There's nothing left. So that's a criminal offense. If that were a civil case, it would be a criminal offense. If that happened civilly where you did that, it would be a criminal offense. So I decided I'm not going to make this speech complicated. I'm going to make it beautiful. I'm going to make it a unifying speech. And then when they said we have a group of people that are serious Trump fans, I said, this is the time to tell those stories. He knows. So anyway, but seriously, I'd like to, I think it was a tremendous success. I think we're very lucky we put it inside because it is really cold. We just went to the helicopter out of respect. It's something that's taken place for a long time. I guess it's as old as helicopters. You used to get into a stagecoach, now you get into a helicopter. Times change. But it's pretty old custom. And it's a beautiful custom, actually. It's a beautiful custom. I wish we could have had a better relationship. I wish we could have had a better relationship between Republicans and Democrats. I was with Senator Schumer. I said, Chuck, I think it's time we all start getting along a little bit because it doesn't make sense. I mean, we literally never get a Democrat vote. They never get a Republican vote, almost. And although there is a bill coming up very shortly that we have a lot of Democrat votes, right? That's going to be a very beautiful bill. We're going to have a signing, I would say, within a week or so, I think. And it's going to be a very good bill. You all know what I'm talking about. So I just want to thank you all for being here. You have been our fans from day one. Look at all these people all over. You've been our fans. There's never been anything like it. There's never been anything like it. This has been a movement like no movement ever in history for probably any country, let alone this country. You know, if somebody's running for president, and if they go out and they announce they're going to Arizona, they're going to Nevada, they're going to someplace, if you have 200 or 300 people, that would be standard. Ronald Reagan would go out. I mean, outside of the last couple of days where people get a little excited, but even then you have a couple of thousand people. But if you're going to go someplace, any place, any one of the swing states, any one of the other states, I mean, how about the non-swing states? We won Alabama by 48 points. We won Tennessee by massive numbers. Wyoming, we won by numbers that are, nobody's ever seen numbers. And, you know, places like California, we did great, but when they send out like 38 million ballots, nobody knows where the hell they're sending them, and then they come pouring back the whole thing. You know, they passed a law in California that if you work in an election bureau and if you so much as ask for a voter ID, if you say, sir, ma'am, could I please look at your voter ID? They have the right to put you in jail. You're a criminal. Can you believe that? There's only one reason that happens. They want to cheat. So they had it where voter ID wasn't accepted. But now if you even ask for it, this is seriously a bill that was just signed, passed in their legislature, and it was signed.
And I think when we get things cleaned up and we get back to a little bit of normalcy, I'm going to ask the Speaker to really get involved, because I think we would have won the state of California. Because, you know, if you look at my numbers with Hispanic, we're at 56%, and we were winning. We won the Texas border that had never been won. As the governor said, he's doing a good job, the governor, by the way, of Texas. But as the governor said, it hasn't. Oh, did I get lucky? Supposing I said, you know, he's not here, but the governor of Texas has done a terrible job. Wow, look at you. You mean we couldn't get you up in the front row? I tell you. Supposing I said, J.D., the governor of Texas, he's not doing his job. You heard what I said? See, I didn't know you were there. I said he's doing a great job. He's doing a phenomenal job. But now you're going to have a partner that's going to work with you, because you didn't have, not only didn't he have a partner, he had people selling the wall, right? We have a fence structure that we worked on, the governor worked on with me. And I didn't love it, to be honest with you. I wanted a nice precast concrete, you know, 40, 50 feet high, like a beautiful, could have been a T-shaped, Y-shaped. I love construction. I wanted that sucker to go up maybe 50, 60 feet. It would have looked beautiful, a nice Y shape. And they said, the problem is, sir, they climbed that like a rabbit. I said, what do you mean? No way. And they brought some of these guys out. They climbed it like. And the other thing is, you hit it with acid and the thing will disintegrate. You know, they have things for concrete. So they needed very hardened steel, very special steel. And then they needed 7,000 pound concrete inside that steel. You know, inside that steel. And then they have a rebar that's the toughest steel made, very hard to cut. So this is why very little is cut. I mean, it's right. And then they put an anti-climb panel on top. I hated it. I said, it's so unattractive. And I said, why would that work? I don't believe it works. And I went to watch the Border Patrol, gave a display. We had actually two sets of climbers. The guys that climb up walls with drugs on their back. I mean, they got like 60, 70 pounds of drug, and they go as fast as you can walk. They go bip, bip, bip. Or we have Mount Everest type climbers. And honestly, the drug guys were much better. I couldn't believe it. The drug guys blew them away, right? But it's true, the anti-climb panel, they couldn't get around it. They just couldn't. When it, you didn't have it. So sometimes you sacrifice beauty for efficiency. And we did. So we built this wall. And we built over 500 miles of wall. That's why we had such good numbers. The famous chart that came down, very thankfully, the chart that came down on my right, Governor. Had I not looked over there, I'm not speaking right now. You might be speaking here. You want to know the truth? You, J.D., have got a lot of great people in this party. But I got very lucky. But we had the best numbers we've ever had. But I bought, you know, what happens is when you fill it up, it's like water. You fill it up. Now we have 571 miles of wall. And they would always say, you know, when we renovated a wall, so there'd be like a piece of plywood sitting there for 60 years, or a 2x4 sitting for 60 years on the ground and rotting. Because, you know, and they say, you didn't build a new wall. Here we're building 50 feet up in the air, 30 feet sections, 50 foot sections, all steel, all concrete, all everything. And all, by the way, they don't even want me to say this, but what the hell, doesn't take that long time. They're all wired for all of the equipment. We put wires in everything so they can easily wire for all the different types of equipment. And if there's a doubt, we have a wire. Whenever we just look, you just find the wires all over the place up top, so we can just hook it up. We don't have to have wires on the outside, which wouldn't do too well, right? So anyway, so we built an extra 200 miles of wall, and the governor wanted to buy it. He tried to buy it, and they wouldn't sell it to him. He wanted to put it up himself. Could have been done in 3 to 4 weeks, 200 more miles, because when you do it, now they just keep going further out, getting around. So we did an extra 200 miles, and it was all bought. And they announced that they're not going to put it up. And that's when I realized they wanted open borders, and that's when I realized that people are going to come pouring through the wall like nobody's ever seen before. But you've seen it. A lot of you are here because of that. I made it my number one issue. They all said inflation was the number one issue. I said, I disagree. I think people
coming into our country from prisons and from mental institutions is a bigger issue for the people that I know. And I made it my number one. I talked about inflation too, but you know, how many times can you say that an apple has doubled in cost? I'd say it and I'd hit it hard, but then I go back to the fact that we don't want criminals coming into our country. We don't want the jails of every country in the world virtually being deposited into the United States. And that man had to suffer with it. And he did an unbelievable job. I'll tell you, he was a very popular governor, but now he's like an unbeatable governor because of your border policies. He was fantastic. And he really was. So. Governor Abbott, he's a great man, great leader. And but it did make him very more. Did you do it? You didn't do that for politics. You did it because you wanted to do the right thing. But I'll tell you, it sure as hell worked for politics, too. It's self-preservation, that's right. But no, because the people are demanding it. The people of Texas are demanding it. The people are demanding it all over. So anyway, so we built it, and they wouldn't let us use it. They wouldn't let the governor use it. And other governors, they wouldn't let him use it. But he was the leader of the pack and did a great job. And then we heard about a month ago that not only wouldn't they let us use it, they were selling it. They were going to sell it for 5 cents on the dollar. Now, 5 cents in the dollar then, but today it would cost more than twice as much to build because we bought it like 6 years ago and it was just sitting on the ground, and that does not do well for the whole thing, but it was just sitting on the ground. And I heard about it and I called the governor and I called a lot of people, your attorney general, and here's the story. They were going to buy it, and these are great business people. They were going to buy it for 5 cents on the dollar or less. And they were calling us up, we'll sell it to you for 200 cents on the dollar. In other words, it will cost you twice as much, so it's 200 cents on the dollar. I said, can somebody explain that to a judge? I mean, how corrupt is that? You'd think they'd say, maybe we'll sell it to you for 20 cents, 30 cents, but not 200 cents. So they were going to buy something for 5 cents, and they were going to sell it to us for a fortune. They're going to make it be, they'd have it down at, in Fortune magazine, they'd put it of the deal of the year, okay? You buy something like that. But it was so corrupt and so horrible. And when we told that to the administration, they didn't care. They just kept going forward. They couldn't care less. And they kept going forward. They knew that they were trying to sell it back to us. They would have sold it back to us. You would have ended up buying it. You would have paid probably 50, 60 cents, who knows? But they were going to use it for scrap metal, but then they made a much better deal. They could just buy it and sell it to us for 15, 20 times what they paid. 20 times, think of it, like 20 times what they paid. And we wouldn't let it happen. And the governor with his attorney general, Ken Paxton, they made a fantastic, they're a good lawyer. He's pushed around pretty good by people, right? I said, you got a great attorney general. They should leave him alone. He was with me. But Ken and the governor went to court, and a judge actually became incensed and actually called for an investigation. How could a thing like this happen? So he stopped it. So we're waiting to put that wall up. And now that you have a new president, that wall will go up so fast. The governor will complain, sir. This is Greg Abbott, sir. Please, the wall is going up too fast. Please don't do that. You know the story about winning. No, no, we're going to win too much. We're winning too much, please. People always love that one. We'll do this with the wall. Governor Abbott calls, sir, the wall is going up too fast. We can't take it. We just can't take it. No, I think you'll be very happy if the wall goes up too fast, right? But we'll get that dude and we'll work with you on that. But it was a great decision by a great Texas judge, right? And it was beautiful, beautiful to watch. He stopped them right in their track. I mean, they were literally loading the stuff onto trucks. It was terrible. Honestly, it was terrible. And he wouldn't take it. So I'm so glad I mentioned that they have a really good governor in Texas. And I swear, I didn't know he was here. I swear to you. It sounds like a setup. I didn't know you were in. Did I get lucky? I said the right thing. Because there have been moments when I wasn't so happy with him, you know? But not too many, I can tell you that. So anyway, it's good to see you too, Governor. Great. But I just want to thank everybody. You've been incredible. I recognize so many of you. It's so crazy. But this has been a long journey. This was a journey that started in 2015, probably started 20 years before that. People used to say, you're going to run for president? You're going to run? And I always said, no, I don't want. And then one day I said, let's give it a shot. And what I talked about then was the border, too. I think it probably was the number one issue for me. Back in 2015, 2016, I talked about the border. And now I talked about the border, but this border is much worse. We fixed the border. It was totally fixed. There was nothing to talk about. 2020, by the way, that election was totally rigged, but these are the, that's okay. It was a rigged election. You know the only thing good about it? It showed how bad they are, showed how incompetent, and frankly, historically, this is a much bigger event. If that would have gone like it should have, the bad thing about it is some bad things happened, like a lot of people in our country that wouldn't be in our country right now. So, you know, that's the bad part. But I will say that it started in 2015, and right from the beginning, when we went to the top, the day one, they announced Trump, and Trump went to number one and stayed there for the whole primary. And then we took on Hillary. She didn't look too happy today. We took on Hillary. A very nice person, but we took on Hillary and we defeated Hillary, and then we did much better the second time in 2020. You know, we got millions more votes. We got millions, like 10, 12 million more votes than we did the first time. No president has ever gotten that many more votes. I got like 9 million more than anybody else had ever gotten, and they said we lost. And because of that, I said to Melania, what do you think? And she said, you want to do this again? And had we lost, and had I thought we lost, I wouldn't do it again, because that's like the ultimate poll, right? But I knew how well we did. And this time, we made it too big to rig. It was so big. They tried. They tried like hell. But they tried to do it. And around 9:02, they gave up. Last time, they did bad things. But this time, they just said, you know, I don't know if you saw Mr. Speaker in Washington. They had placards. They were all set to march. They thought it'd be closer. A gentleman asked me, a very respected gentleman asked me yesterday, how come the polls were so wrong? They showed you winning, but not in a landslide. I said, because people that are true Trumpers are so angry at the whole polling system and at the writers, the fake news, that they don't want to talk to anybody. So when you call somebody from Trump, who are you voting for? They say, it's none of your business. I'm not telling you. And that was probably 40% of the people they called. So they would discard that one, and they didn't show that. And then when the election happened, you know, the vote came, and it was much different, much higher than, we're going to win, but they thought, they really thought, they couldn't believe the one man said, I mean, it was so much higher. We won all 7 swing states. We won the popular vote by millions of votes, which is hard for a Republican. I'll tell you who came through. The unions came through. The auto workers were great. The Teamsters were great. The firemen were great. I think almost every union was great. The only one that weren't great, although Sean was great, and the Teamsters, Sean O'Brien, the head of the Teamsters, was fantastic. But generally speaking, the head of the union was against Trump, but the union would be with us for like 80-85%. Look what we did with the auto workers in Michigan. Look what we did with the Teamsters. The Teamsters were unbelievable. They were a solid Democrat vote, and they voted for Trump. So we had a great experience. This has been, now we have to go to work and get it done, because we have to do something that's going to be great. We're going to turn our country around. And we're going to turn it around fast. And I think this was a better speech than the one I made upstairs, okay? I think this was better, J.D. I think this was much better. And I got to see my friend. So, Governor, take care of yourself. You call me. We'll start working. You know what that means with him? He's going to be calling me tomorrow morning at about 6. And I said, how about next week? You call me, and we're going to get it started real fast. We'll really help you a lot. You've done a fantastic job protecting something which is, it's not supposed to be for the states. And amazing job you've done. Thank you very much. And I want to thank everybody. And I have a First Lady who's been incredible. I shouldn't say this. I'm going to get hell when I say this, but
Her feet are absolutely aching, you know, those heels. And we thought we were leaving, we were going home. Sir, would you be able to go down and say hello to some of your other fans that are here? I said, oh, I didn't know that. Well, did you get to see pretty clearly the picture, I hope? Good. That's good. But, because you wouldn't want to make the same speech again, right? But she said, darling, I love you so much, but my feet are killing me. I said, honey, let me just see how far it is. I asked the person. Oh, not that long, maybe 400 or 500 yards. That's 5 football fields. I said, can you make it? She said, we're going to make it no matter what. We're going to make it because we have to do it, right? And then we went out to the helicopter, though, just prior to this, and said goodbye. And it's a custom, and the wind is blowing like crazy. And with the hat that she's wearing, she almost blew away. We almost lost off her. She was being elevated off the ground. She almost blew away. No. So we all appreciate it because you, she's been a great first lady, a beautiful and a great first lady. And they love our first lady. You know, JD, whenever I make a speech, I see hundreds of times, we love our first lady. We love, and they do, and they should. She's great. So I just want to thank you. Thank you very much. I just want to thank everybody. And I felt that I said to JD.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
The new year is here, and it's the perfect time to kickstart your meditation practice. The Morning Meditation for Women podcast has short, daily guided meditations that will help you start your day with intention and focus, and make it so easy to get you into the habit. Imagine feeling so much more calm and confident in 2025. Follow and listen to Morning Meditation for Women on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Should we give them the A treatment, the B treatment, the C, the D, or the F? You know what the F is? Hello, everybody. Thank you for being here. Bye-bye. I gave you the A-plus treatment. Thank you. Thank you all. Thank you, Governor. Thank you all very much. Appreciate it.
President Trump speaking. singing. He's going to hear that all day. He's going to hear it all day. And I'm just waiting for a little bit of YMCA Trump dance to that beautiful, beautiful song that now plays when Donald Trump walks into a room. You've been listening to special coverage on Martin Luther King Jr. Day. A very, very important day in our country for many reasons today as we celebrate the inauguration of the 47th president of the United States, Donald J. Trump. We had Joe Biden speaking before he departed Joint Base Andrews. We're going to just peek in and see how MSNBC is doing today when we come back. And we're going to get down to the business of these 200 executive orders that we will see this afternoon. Don't go away. We'll be right back.